This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about, well, we talk about fishing, we talk about hunting, we talk about related issues, we talk about the great outdoors and wildlife and anything else you want to talk about. So we are here to talk with you this morning. You and I are together for the first hour of the show, and then we've got a guest coming in the second hour, which is a DNR a biologist by the name of, I just had it at the tip of my tongue, Steve Doctor. Steve's been with the Fishery Service for many years, 23, I believe. He's lives in Ocean City, fishes Ocean City, and I think that that's what we're probably going to talk about, all aspects of Ocean City fishing. How apropos at this time when people are headed to the beach a lot and, you know, want to know what the fishing opportunities are. So there we are. So we're at 410 WCBM 680. Well, almost. We've got to unlock the lines here when Brian gets back. And then we'll be able to take your call. There he is at 410-382-9481. That's 410-382-9481. So, if you are calling from outside the local dialing area, the local Baltimore dialing area, and you're on a landline, you can certainly call us toll free. You know, like I said, outside the immediate Baltimore area, toll free, just dial 800-WCBM-680, 800-922-6680. So, busy week for the Maryland Hunting Coalition, busy week for Ellis Outdoors. The Maryland Loves Crabs 2016 edition came out late Tuesday evening. We got it. We were expecting delivery early Tuesday morning, and that didn't happen. Dealing with a truck driver that showed up about 7:30 that evening, and a little later maybe, and said, where were you today? He goes, I was on Long Island when I got the call to deliver your magazines from Philadelphia. And I said, okay, that's great. But they look great. They turned out great. So the Maryland Loves Crabs is online at mdlovescrabs.com, and the print issues have been delivered to a number of locations. We're maybe halfway with our deliveries, maybe not quite that far. We have done Chris Field, Taylor's Island, Hooper's Island, Dorchester County, most of Talbot County, Kent Island. Queen Anne's County has been taken care of. Anne Arundel, Calvert, St. Mary's, and Charles, the advertisers there all have their magazines. Did that yesterday. And we're headed, I don't know if we'll go west or northeast today. I'm not sure which we'll go. But if you're looking for your copy, our sponsors, Clyde Sports Shop has plenty. Fishbones has theirs. Anglers. And Chesapeake Outdoors, as far as sporting goods stores are concerned, that sell crabbing supplies and things like that, they've all got them. So go to one of those four. If you're headed to do some fishing or crabbing today, you can find them right there. So crabbing is pretty good. We heard a week ago that there wasn't much crabbing in the Upper Bay, and then we heard this week that all the crabs are headed to the Upper Bay. And, but the crab businesses have been good. The prices are relatively good and stable. The folks that are, they're kind of the mid-bay are experiencing kind of the summer downturn from what they call it. You know, those eastern shore rivers that get crabbed heavily. You know, the Miles and the Choptank and those things are saying, and of course, how do you know, that, you know, the slowed down a little bit from what it was, but they anticipate a great upswing and a great fall for sure. So, typical crab season, only better than most. So, there we are. Did get a nice letter this week from the Maryland Legislative Sportsmen's Caucus. These are a group of lawmakers that, let's see if I can put it succinctly here. These are members of the General Assembly who have the interest of hunters and fishermen on their mind. These are the defenders of hunters and fishermen. And they are a bipartisan group who speak as one for Maryland's sportsman-related policies. In other words, if there's a hunting or fishing bill that comes up, a statewide hunting or fishing bill that comes up, these are the guys that we have to depend on to move our initiatives and our bills through the General Assembly. And they are active when it comes to the General Assembly. And the Maryland Hunting Coalition has standing with the caucus. And we work together with the caucus and as a kind of a last line of defense for hunting-related issues that are being considered in the halls of Annapolis. So we got a nice letter from them the other day, from the Senator John Astle and Delegate Wendell Beitzel, who are the co-chairs of the Legislative Sportsman's Caucus. It says, Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Caucus commends the Maryland Hunting Coalition for its leadership in helping secure enactment of the landmark Poaching Restitution Act of 2016. We recognize the coalition invested significant effort in researching the issue and developing the proposed act following the first annual Hunter Summit hosted by the coalition on September 27, 2015 in Annapolis. The number one issue of concern emanating from the summit was the need for more punitive law to help deter poaching of deer, especially Maryland's nationally renowned world-class white-tailed deer. The coalition advises the caucus that it would undertake this charge in consultation with the stakeholder community and Maryland's Department of Natural Resources, which we did. And true to your word, the coalition advised the caucus of its proposed version of the act following the development of its white paper entitled Deer Poaching Maryland Perspective, which served as the basis for the act and sought sponsorship from caucus members. All who sponsored and co-sponsored the Poaching Restitution Act of 2016, which was Senate Bill 266 and House Bill 410, were indeed members of the caucus. So, effective June 1, 2016, Maryland has become what many believe the most punitive state east of the Mississippi and within the top 3 to 5 states nationwide pertinent to deer poaching punishment. The intent of the law sends a chilling message to would-be poachers that if you're caught and convicted of deer poaching in our state, you will pay a terrible price, a minimum of $2,000 to $10,000 plus 80 hours of community service, not to mention the likelihood of losing your hunting privileges for up to 5 years as well. That's, in parentheses, the Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act of 2012. Indeed, we proudly note that the Boone and Crockett Club congratulated the coalition of its leadership in promoting the act during the 2016 session of the Maryland General Assembly. In closing, please know the caucus is mindful of the judiciary's concern about the act, concerns expressed during the session, which were rejected by the General Assembly, coupled with concerns expressed to the governor following adjournment. We stand prepared to help defend this law against any changes unless they are absolutely deemed warranted at some point in the future. Again, a job well done. We look forward to our continued relationship with the coalition on issues of interest to Maryland's hunting community. Nice to have a letter like that signed by not only the senator but the delegate and as chairs of the Legislative Sportsman's Caucus. So we were very, very happy to receive that this week. So nice to know that our lawmakers are paying attention to the Maryland Hunting Coalition and the issues that confront hunters here in Maryland. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, if you would like to comment on that. The guide to hunting and trapping is out with all the new regulations. You can go online and purchase your license or purchase it at a local sporting goods store for sure. And you can follow up with that and make sure you're ready to go in the upcoming hunting season. Believe it or not, it's only 2 months away. Yep, August is right around the corner, and then September 1 is the beginning of, course, the Maryland hunting season with a couple of early seasons coming in right there. So, that's being said, we did hear from the folks at Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry this year. They have yet to hear whether they will receive any public funding from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife and Heritage Service. They have depended on public funds for the last, 10 years or so. If you remember, it started out with a dollar for every hunting license, and then it went to a grant basically through the Department of Natural Resources, and then the grant was cut in half, and then that was cut in half again. So, the public money that was poured in to supporting this very valuable program that sustains a good interest and a good image for hunting is in jeopardy this year. And the Maryland Doe Hunting Challenge, the Maryland Doe Challenge, which we've promoted here a long, long time, almost since its inception, which was sponsored by the Soybean Board, the Maryland Grain Producers, and the Farm Bureau, that program has been eliminated as well. So any funding other than voluntary contributions for Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry, is gone. So we don't know. We don't know what the future of the program of Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry is this season. So we'll find out here shortly, we hope. But rest assured, the Maryland Hunting Coalition is doing all it can to help secure funding for Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry, actively involved in that. So let's talk to Paul in Ferndale. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Last week's show, I heard you talk to a gentleman at the Upper Bay Gun Club.
Right.
And my question is, do they have stands that are available for handicap hunters?
That is an excellent question, and I can certainly find out. Or you can find out if I give you the number.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, why don't we do that? The fellow's name is Tom Slavin. Tom Slavin, Slavin, and Tom is a very accommodating guy, But here's the number that's in the it's in the ad, and I'll give it to you here right over the air. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, Paul. 443-309-3788.
Okay, can you repeat that one more time?
I can. 443-309-3788.
Great.
Give him a call. Find out. He might be listening. He might call in. I don't know.
Okay, cool.
All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. All right. You know summer's here. I mean, if anybody's stuck their nose outside their door this week, they know that summer is definitely here with a vengeance. Time for picnics, family get-togethers, camping trips. Summer's corn on the cob. I've had some great corn on the cob this year. Steamed crabs. Had some good ones of those, and fresh tomatoes, too. Summer is cold, juicy melons. The Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm, they like to steam their crabs with corn on the cob for a great family dinner. They put the crabs in the steamer, season everything up. They put the corn on top, season the corn with crab seasoning, and boy, hot corn with crab spice. Well, if you enjoy your time outdoors with great-tasting food, head to Schillinger, Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty, super-sweet corn. Homegrown tomatoes are ready. There's squash, zucchini, peppers, onions, green beans, and cucumbers. Mouth-watering cantaloupes and sweet watermelons, too. And the help is very helpful. The people behind the counter will help you out. Papa John's Farm, located just off I-97 at exit 12. That's 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. Call 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday, 9 to 7, Sunday, 9 to 6. And that phone number is 410-969-8810. You visit Schillinger, Papa John's Farm. You know what? It'll grow on you. Time to book your dove hunt with Upper Bay Gun Club. Hunt over sunflowers on great farms loaded with doves. Dove hunt runs $150 per person and includes lunch. Hurry, the early dates are filling up fast and space is limited. Hunt deer, waterfowl, and turkeys on private farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership like I did, or call about guided day hunts or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'll tell you, I got to see Tommy James and the Shondells twice in my life. That was a lot of fun. I was a kid. I mean, teenager. So, hey, Chuck in Hampstead, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. How are you this morning?
Good, good. I was just getting ready to tell the folks about some of the pictures we've been seeing of rogue bears and mamas and cubs here in the metro area. And here you send me a photo of some damage that Mr. Bruin did to your deer feeder, huh?
Yeah, he's being a bad boy.
A bad boy. Whacked that feeder, knocked it on its side, and...
Rolled it across the pod, about 20 yards.
They can do that.
We got Bob, my friend Bob, did the work to get it going and redo the cage and so the raccoons can't get in. And it's been up a week now, and he hasn't called me and said that it's gone back down yet.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Far,
yeah. I got those trail camera pictures. It's a decent bear. It's a teenager and. Thank goodness in Frederick County and Washington County, and they've extended the season this year into those two counties. Of course, you still got to go online and get in the permit system and try to get drawn. But
I'll be doing that on the 18th. Going to try for a permit. Both me and Bob. So we're going to hopefully one of us will get a permit and go after and smack that bad boy.
Sounds like you're out for revenge.
Well, I mean, and one of the neighbors, Bob, told me that they're up there lost a feeder to the bear, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, there's more of them out there than you can imagine. I got some reports yesterday. I was down at Precision Taxidermy in Catonsville. And they were telling me that not far away from the neighborhood there in Catonsville, they've seen a bear roaming around. And then I got pictures of a trio, cub or two cubs and a mom in Woodbine that have been showing up, eating people, knocking down people's bird feeders and everything else. And, people are going to go out there and they're going to see their bird feeder torn up or they're going to see their grill knocked over and they're going to go, what happened here? I guess it was a raccoon. Probably not. If you don't have a camera on it and it's done some heavy duty damage like that, you're going to be looking around for a Maryland black bear. That's for sure.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yep.
I wanted to call in too because I heard your last caller was Paul, I think?
Yes.
Asked you about handicap lines?
Yes.
And Paul, hopefully you're still listening. Call the station or message Alan, and he'll give you my contact info.
Absolutely.
And I'm with the Physically Challenged Bowhunters of America. I'll send you some information about our organization.
All right. Yep. Paul, if you want to call back and leave your number with our producer, Brian will be more than glad to write that down, and we'll put you in touch with Chuck, the Physically Challenged Bowhunters of America, and good organization. I know Chuck is devoted to it. You were down at a show over the 4th of July weekend where the Maryland Trophy Deer Contest allegedly took place, and you were there. And what? You were there?
Yeah. Yeah. The contest was if you were in the Southern Maryland counties, you entered.
I'm not here to criticize the contest, but you put that at the very tip of Maryland and expect people statewide to participate. It's a little rough for those folks from Western Maryland and the Eastern Shore. Can you imagine? And this happened last year where I met Tim Krause, who shot the state record sika deer, a beautiful 8-point buck, and eclipsed a 20-some-year-old record. And I met Tim, and his story's in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. The current summer issue, you can see it online at MaryLandHuntingQuarterly.com. But anyway, Tim traveled from Salisbury, cross the Bay Bridge, and then back down. I mean, he could have got there quicker by boat, he entered his deer in the contest, as did a number of others. But it wasn't on the Independence Day weekend. It was a little later in the month, or maybe it was even in August. I can't remember. But
right, and the Physically Challenged Bow Hunters has did their draws for their hunts this year.
Right,
and I'm going to Delaware.
Oh, wow. You're going to Delaware.
So finally, I have a short trip to make.
That's great.
Yeah, so.
That's great. Delaware, yeah, careful with some of those laws over there. I mean, I'm watching some of the stuff they're doing in Delaware, and it's getting a little strange. So, but no stranger than Maryland. And you've been there. You've seen the process. You've been there in the hearing room and watched how that all goes. And, you know, the debate in Congress, Chuck, and if you got a minute and want to weigh in, the debate in Congress is, of course, going to be, you know, one side of the aisle wants to suspend our Second Amendment rights, constitutional rights. The other side seems to want to defend it. I suspect they're going to come together somewhere in the middle like they have in the past. But, you know, here in Maryland, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. We had the big gun debacle a couple of years ago under the last governor. This governor's taken no steps to undo that or change that or, you know, give anybody any more, you know, any of their rights back. But and he can't. And he can't because he's, you know, the Republicans are not in the majority in the Maryland General Assembly. It is still the same folks pretty much in charge that were in charge, even though he swept a number of folks into office there. The Speaker of the House is still Mike Bush. The President of the Senate is still Mike Miller. Been around a long, long time. But here's something that I was thinking about the other day. When you look at the backgrounds of the folks who are hired by the gun groups, okay, just tossing this out there. I'm not making a negative comment one way or another, but I'm just tossing it out there. When you hire someone to lobby lawmakers who is from the same political background and philosophy and mindset that the lawmakers are, who have you hired? In other words, if the gun, the pro-gun organizations hire a lobbyist who is from the same political persuasion as the lawmakers who are fighting, you know, to suspend our Second Amendment rights or restrict firearms or restrict magazine capacities or something like that, and you're, I don't know how to say this any easier, if your gun group hires a left-leaning lobbyist to defend your Second Amendment rights when the lobbyist doesn't know a 410 from a 30-06, what have you done? You follow me, Chuck?
Shot yourself in the foot.
Thank you very much. Exactly right. Exactly right. It's, you know, and I started thinking about that. I'm thinking, you know, you look at these guys, you look at some of these people who are representing the gun interest, the pro-gun interest and the gun rights interest, and they're the same political stripe as the lawmakers that are trying to suspend our rights and privileges. What have we done? What have you done as far as the gun group is concerned? I'm just tossing it out there.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you look at the political affiliation of the lobbyists, the active lobbyists in Annapolis, the majority of them are left-leaning. And, you know, so, okay, they provide testimony, they go, but do they actually fight? Do they actually, you know, try to guide that legislation through the General Assembly? Do they do their lobbying duty, or do they take the money and go?
That's what I was just going to say.
There you go. Just tossing it out there, buddy.
Yep.
All right. So, Chuck, I appreciate the call. Good luck with the bear. I hope you don't have to repair your feeder anymore. And and how's the crossbow shooting? Have you shot it this year?
Actually, I'm waiting to get it back from being restrung. So
right, yeah, and that's probably what I'm going to do this year is restring mine.
Right. Have you talked to Sean from?
Yes.
Is he back?
I mean, yes, he is.
How do you do in his hunt?
Saw 24 bears, and kept the big bear kept avoiding him. First night in the stand, he was watching a giant bear come in, and he said, "Boy, that is a tremendous bear, but it's a sow." And he could, you know, he's been bear hunting for long enough to tell. And everything's on trail camera, and this, and he said it just had a big body and a small head, so he knew it was a sow. And besides that, he said 80 yards behind her was the bear he wanted, and it was a brute. I mean, it was a brute. Now, he's hunting from a ground blind, and there were five bears on the bait before that big one came in, and one of the young ones walked within a foot of his ground blind. Yeah, so he was. He said, "I put sticks up to block the entrance to keep the bears from coming in. They're that curious." So he waited. It got dark, and that bear finally came in after dark. But I guess he saw that bear four or five nights out of six, or four nights out of five, or whatever it might be, and never did get a shot at it. He said the sow stood there. Sow stood there and offered every shot opportunity, every angle that, you know, every angle possible. But the boar was just too cagey, and he came in late every night, never got a shot at it. So he was hunting one bear, saw 24, and never took a shot. So yeah, I think he's going back in the fall. So we'll see. Yep, New Brunswick, man. There's a lot of bears there.
Right.
Yep, so.
All right.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it.
Have a good weekend. I'll be talking to you.
All right, Chuck. Thank you. Bye-bye. There he goes. So why are bears headed east? Why are the bears coming out of the mountains and coming east? Well, there's an old song, you know, going to the beach, maybe. There have been a few on the Eastern Shore, that's for sure. Good one, Brian. Why are they headed east? Well, this time of year, and I've said it before, the sows are ready to breed. The female bears are ready to breed. They breed every 2 years. They give birth usually in January when they're in the dens. The cubs are with the mothers in the den. They nurse till spring. She raises them for another year and a half, and then she's ready to breed again in the summer. The boars start to chase the sows just like bucks and does and all nature. And the sows have, when they have cubs with them, the boar becomes jealous. The female becomes protective. But eventually she knows she's going to have to propagate the species, so she kicks the cubs out. And usually the sow bears, the young sows, the two-year-old sows, hang around. They don't go far. But the males decide that it's time for them to launch out on their own, kind of like a teenager, you know, going to find themselves. So they launch out onto this journey, and they just continue to wander wherever they want to wander. Sometimes they don't go far. Sometimes they go, you know, 3-4 miles and find another place where they can live. Sometimes they go, and they can go 50 to 70 miles a day. They travel day and night, and till they find suitable habitat. They may find another bear, they may not, but they'll establish another territory, and whether that's in Catonsville or Woodlawn or Woodbine or, you know, Montgomery Village or Emmitsburg or wherever it might be, that's where they're going to land. And if they find food, water, and cover, it's where they'll stay. And that's how the bear population expands. There's a natural funnel that in western Maryland, Washington County, that runs from Pennsylvania, where the bear population is heavy, down into Virginia, where the bear population is heavy, and there's a regular travel corridor there, easy for the bears to go back and forth. And from there, they spread east and west, or, you know, from Pennsylvania, there's bears, plenty of bears in southern Pennsylvania. You know, our border here in Maryland is porous, and, you know, there's no fence, and there should be, and I think we make Pennsylvania pay for it to keep out the bears. But it's possible that those bears are roaming from Pennsylvania and from western Maryland. They don't all come from Garrett and Allegheny County. Some of them do come down from, yeah, some of them come down from the border counties and beyond in Pennsylvania. So that's how we get bears in Maryland and bears in suburbia. So, all right. 410 WCBM 680 is our phone number. We need somebody to call us and rescue us from this conversation. If you would, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. Well, we talked about crabbing. And good, bad, or indifferent, people are crabbing. And some of them are doing well, and some of them aren't. Some of them are doing it with traps. Some of them are doing it with trot lines. Some of them are doing it with ring traps. They all need bait, of course. And where you find this tremendous selection of crabbing gear is at Clyde Sports Shop. They've got the Foxy Mate crab traps, the standard four-door crab traps. They've got the topless T120s. They got the blue claws, the trot lines and supplies. They've got 500 feet of tarred line or Loctite number 5 nylon, or they've got a 1,000-foot trot line with snoods already attached, and the trot line weights and the bait bags and the floats and commercial crab pots and hotels and crab baskets with lids and cloth and wire ring traps and new baskets and new lids and accessories like measures and tongs and gloves and mallets and steamers and even their own crab seasoning for, you know, 5-pound bucket. All that and chicken necks and bait too. That's right. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. That's just off Beltway exit number 9. They're located at, the phone number is 410-242-6108. The website is clydessports.com. And, of course, they're open 7 days a week. Take all major credit cards. And if you need it for fishing, crabbing, hunting, home protection, they've got it. Clyde Sports Shop.
Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. Hey, Maryland's Upper Eastern Shore has a rich tradition for dove and waterfowl, deer and turkey hunting, and now you can hunt over a dozen Upper Shore farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership, like I did, and hunt all season long, or call about guided day hunts with Upper Bay Gun Club, or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Give Tom a call at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint mat. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
This is Mark Levin. To take back the country, turn on your radio every weeknight at 7. 3 hours of the most important issues of our time only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Crossing the highway late last night, it didn't look left and it didn't look right. Didn't see the station wagon car, skunk got squashed, and there you are, you got a dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. You got a dead skunk in the middle of the road, and you're stinking the high you long. Take a whiff on me, that ain't no rose. Roll up your windows and hold your nose. You don't have to look and you don't have to see. You can't feel it in your olfactory. It's in the middle.
Kind of catchy, ain't it?
Dead skunk.
Huh? Kind of catchy. I don't know who this is, but somebody's trying to call me on my home line, my cell line, if they're trying to call the show, 410-922-6680. Let's see. Michael in Fells Point. Good morning. How are you?
Top of the morning to you.
How you doing?
Curious.
Yeah.
I was a hunter when I was growing up out in Carroll County, out from Mount Airy and Aldersburg and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved away and got rid of all my stuff. And then I live in the city now. And I was thinking about getting back into it. What would you recommend as far as a good rifle that get back into the swing of things?
A good rifle? A good rifle. I mean, if you're gonna deer hunt in Maryland, you're gonna want to, you know, depending on where you go, you're gonna want a good rifle and a good shotgun for deer hunting.
Right.
You know, but again, depending on where you go, if you're hunting in a rifle county, there's the anything from a 25 to a 30 caliber is certainly enough for deer here in Maryland. Certainly enough. At the top end, you could go with a 300 Winchester Magnum. It's a bit of overkill, but if you ever draw a bear permit, you might want that for hunting in the mountains. The all-round caliber is probably 270, 280, 30-06, 308, and there's a bunch of good calibers in there, you know, but the most common calibers that you're going to find the ammo the easiest for, are going to be the standard calibers. And, go ahead.
Would you recommend going to a gun show?
No. I would recommend if you're living in Baltimore and you want to see a nice selection of firearms, I would go to Clyde Sports Shop. Clyde's, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're not only a full-line Browning dealer, but they've got a large selection of firearms there that you can choose from.
All right. Well, much obliged.
All right. Well, there you go. Good luck to you. Let us know if you get back into it, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thanks. There we go. We got Mike in Finksburg. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
How you doing, Alan?
Good. What's up?
A little tired. I've been up all night.
I hear you. Yep.
I think you need a caller. I'm hearing
you are one.
Relatives a lot of stingrays in the bay. What's the cause of that?
They're a migratory species, and they come to our bay to breed and to give birth. Both.
They come in
in the spring, and stay till about the end of summer, and then they're gone.
Do they eat mostly crabs or what? No, they eat
bivalves for the most part. They eat mussels. They eat mussels. They eat clams. They eat soft shell clams. They eat oysters. They eat razor clams. They will eat crabs, of course. They're hated by watermen because they get in their pound nets and foul them up. But the good news is the Smithsonian has a program now where they're actually paying watermen for cow nose rays, and the rays are being taken and tagged and then released back into the bay. So there's a little bit of research going on with the cow nose ray right now. But they can suck open an oyster in a heartbeat.
What's the purpose of tagging them? What do they want to do with them?
There's no research on them. There's an emotional argument that we shouldn't harvest them by bow fishing.
Okay. Oh, okay, I see.
All right, and it was caused by a couple of chuckleheads in Southern Maryland that put on a contest, not the guys we had on the air, and they permitted the two animal activist groups to film the bow fishing for these rays, and they recorded some pretty barbaric practices by these bow hunters that were out there shooting these rays. And of course, they presented a very emotional argument to the press, and the video is pretty graphic. But you shoot an animal with a bow, it's going to bleed. And there were some other things that were brought out. And DNR has no regulation on them because they're highly migratory animal. There's really no commercial market for them, although the number of organizations and government agencies have tried to figure out how to get people to eat them. But the one harvest method other than hook and line for catching them is, I've caught them. They're a lot of fun. They're big, brawny fish, and they put up a great fight.
Oh, they do a heck of a fight.
Yeah, they do. But what do you do with them when you get them in?
Most people cut the line, but
many people do, and they're very dangerous. As a matter of fact, I mean, they are a cow nose stingray, and they have a barb at the base of their tail, and they can do you harm. So, you just cut the line and let them go. But that being said, there's not a lot of research on them. They invade the bay in squadrons, to give birth and to breed and eat our abundant shellfish here and our crabs, and off they go. And like I said, they're the bane of watermen. Some guys hate them. Some guys don't pay any attention to them. They'll actually follow crab boats as they're they're culling their crabs and that type of thing. And, crush the bait. They'll go into a crab pot and crush the bait and eat the razor clams out of it. Trot liners hate them because, they'll just come along and suck up all the, they put the little orange bags of razor clams on the trot line, and the ray will just move along the line and crush every bag and eat all the good stuff, and there won't be any bait left for crabs. So yeah.
Hey, is there ever any manta rays come in, the big ones?
No, that's a southern species. We do have southern stingrays come in from time to time, and these are big giant stingrays. They'll get 6 feet across and weigh a couple hundred pounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, these are the ones you see off Ocean City, the southern stingrays. But the ones that are most prevalent here are the cow-nose ray, which is different than a skate, okay? A skate is the same cartilaginous fish, just kind of a cousin of a shark like a ray is. You know, their closest relatives are sharks.
Right.
But the skate is much smaller and not nearly as dangerous as the stingray is concerned.
Do they not have a barb on them or not?
I don't believe a skate does. I've handled them. I don't know. I wouldn't want to step on one. I wouldn't want to step on one. But that southern ray has that very prominent barb right at the base of its tail. So,
okay.
You want to watch that.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, buddy. You got it. Thanks. Yeah, I've done a lot of research on that for last year's Crab Magazine. Good morning. Bill and Towson, how are you?
Hey, cheers, Alan. Things are pretty
good. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Things are good.
Good.
You were talking about bear that wander around.
And, oh, yeah.
Animals that we see. I live in a fairly nice area just west of Towson.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fox and a lot of coon and a lot of deer that wander around here.
Yep.
And then you played that tune, Dead Skunk.
Yeah, there's plenty of those, isn't there?
Yeah, day before yesterday, I came home from work. I had a really bad smell in the house. I thought maybe it was my trash or something. I had a dead fox under my back deck.
Oh.
My back deck's pretty big. It's like 12 by 60.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him in there. But hats off to Baltimore County Animal Control. They came out and got it. Boy, Alan, talk about something that does not smell good. Boy, that was it.
Oh, I know. Was it mangy?
It was really, really mangy.
Yeah, well, that's why it's under your deck. I actually had one die in a cat box outside my house not long ago. And when that mange will eventually kill the fox, okay? They suffer tremendously with that. You'll see a fox with a skinny tail and an odd look to it, and no fur on the back end of it or no fur on it at all. And what happens is that mite will get in there and infect that animal to the point where it can't take it anymore. And like I said, it'll eventually kill that animal. And when it gets to that point, that's when you find those animals in barns and, you know, tack rooms and under your deck, and they'll seek shelter to die.
Well, I see them on a little lane behind my house, and I love to watch them trot with the tail out. They look so neat.
Oh, yeah, they're cool looking.
But I've seen, maybe this fox, I don't know, I had one just in the middle of the road in the middle of the day in front of my house. It was barking, and it looked mangy. It looked out of distemper, rabid, just mangy.
Yeah, they're one of the they're one of the rabies vector factor vector species, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've had rabid coons in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, you know, it was a real pain in the neck. Had to cut some wood out of the deck to go down there. And
oh, boy.
And Baltimore County Animal Control, they're pretty quick to come and get it.
But, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you have pets?
No.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, you might want to find out how to treat your property for the mange mite, because it's not a good thing to have. But,
He pulled the carcass out. There was a whole ton of fur that was just left down in there.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled that out myself. And I did run some essentially insecticide sprayed all around in there.
Yeah.
And then I poured in and shot in, sprayed in a whole bunch of bleach. And
yeah, stuff. That's a good plan. Yeah, make sure you're cleaned up really good too, you know. So.
Yeah, but oh boy, yeah, I just thought I'd share that dead skunk in the middle of the road.
That dead fox under the deck. Oh, good grief. Yeah.
Oh my, it does smell. Hey, I love your show. Great radio. Cheers, Alan. Have a good morning.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it, buddy.
You bet.
Bye-bye. There goes Bill. All right. We have another caller on the line, or we're out of time. All right. Look, folks, we didn't say much about it, but those of you who listen to the station know that our colleague Tom Marr passed away this week, and we just wanted to send our prayers and condolences to his family. Tom was instrumental in one of his daughters married one of Joe Brooks's relatives, and wound up with Joe Brooks. If you want to Google that name in fly fishing world, I wound up with one of Joe Brooks's flies for my collection, courtesy of Tom Marr. And, you know, Tom was here when I came to the station in 1988. That's when this station went on the air, and been here a long time, and Tom's been here a few months longer. So, again, condolences and prayers to the family. So, all right, get out, stay out, stay safe.